Well, good morning. Everybody okay this morning? All right, you got to smile at me at least. Come on. Good morning. Let me know that you're awake. There we go. Well, it's great to be with you this morning. I have been looking forward to being here this week and looking forward to coming together and worshiping together as God's people. And I want to thank these guys. Week after week, they come and they lead us. And appreciate our worship team so much, guys. Thank y'all so much. Appreciate it. Well, be in prayer for Pastor Tim. He's going to be traveling back from the Keys. He got a chance to go and have a few days of R&R. Went down and did some scuba diving. So I haven't heard from him. We're hoping he's good. Praying the sharks didn't get him. But be praying for him. He'll be traveling back first part of the week. And then be in prayer for our team in Mexico. We have three of our folks over in Mexico, Jason Adair and Charlene St. John, Amy Autry. They're all over in Mexico in the village there, Pueblo Viejo, and they are working this week with the teachers there. They're helping them just learn skills to be better teachers. And so it's a great way for us to continue to build a relationship with those folks over there. And so we're excited about the work that's going on there. So we need to make sure that we pray for them this week as they are over sharing Jesus with those in our village, all right? So look forward to seeing how God's going to use them in a great way. Well, I hope you're excited about being here today. We are going to continue in our Extravagant Love series. You know, I know that people got real nervous when they said, we're going to be talking about extravagant love and the youth pastor's going to be teaching. I know. I saw you start squirming. I heard you behind me going, uh-oh. It's going to be okay. We're not going to go down any youth path this morning. I know how it is when the youth pastor speaking on love. I get it. So I'm excited about being here, and we are going to continue talking about the incredible love that God has for us. You know, when Pastor Tim several weeks ago began this series, and we started talking about the fact that God has an incredible love for us, has that really been able to sink in for you? I mean, have you really thought about how incredible God's love is? I mean, it is an extravagant love. And to be real honest, we really don't have a word in our vocabulary that can really describe how incredible God's love is for us. But this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to be reminded that God loves us so very much. I don't know what you came to this place with this morning. I don't know what you brought to this place. I don't know maybe the discouragement that you brought, the hurt that you bring here this morning. I want you to know this. God loves you. And God loves you just like you are. You don't have to do anything this morning to change. You don't have to do anything this morning to make yourself better. You don't have to do anything this morning that'll make God love you more. As a matter of fact, there's nothing we can do that would cause God to love us more. There's nothing we can do that would cause God to love us less. This morning, understand, God loves you just like you are. He loves us. And this morning, I want us to just simply take a few steps back and be reminded of this incredible love that God has for us. Yesterday, I had the chance to go over to Lake Wadawi and spend some time on the lake. And as I was driving over, I just happened to go by a church sign. As a matter of fact, I went by two church signs yesterday. And I have to just tell you, I just kind of went by them and I said, thanks, Lord. Thanks for those gifts. Because they were things I needed. Mainly because I was still preparing the sermon. But as I went by one of the signs, one of the signs simply said, imperfect people, welcome here. I thought, whew, I bet that place is going to be full tomorrow. Because, you know, the reality is that we're all imperfect. We're all imperfect. There is none of us that is without sin. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not a single one of us here this morning that is perfect. We all bring our imperfections to this place. Imperfect people, welcome here. I liked that. I went on down the road, and I looked and I saw another sign, and it said this. It said, God's gift of love is an unconditional gift. God's gift of love is an unconditional gift. As I was riding along, all of a sudden it dawned on me. And I began to think about this morning, and I thought about the fact that, you know, the reality is this. Because of God's great unconditional love for us, we can overcome our imperfections. Because of God's unconditional, incredible, amazing, magnificent, extravagant love for us, we can overcome our imperfections. You see, it is Jesus and the work that Jesus did on the cross, because he loves us, that we can overcome those imperfections. We are all sinners. The Bible clearly states that in the book of Romans. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all missed that mark that God has for us. We have all fallen short of that plan and that purpose that God has for us. Every one of us has. But Romans in chapter 5, verse 8, it says this. It says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, while we were imperfect, while we keep falling short, God demonstrated his love for us in the fact that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us because of his love for us. That is an incredible love. That is an extravagant love that God has for you and that God has for me, and that we can come and we can receive this morning. I don't know about you, but every time I stop and I think about God's love, I find myself humbled. Beloved, this morning, just can I ask you, does God's love this morning humble you? When you stop and think about how much God loves you, how much God loves me, it humbles me. It humbles me. I'm reminded of the incredible sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, and it humbles me. It is an extravagant, incredible, mind-blowing love that God has for us. I'm reminded of a story of a young girl and her father as they were driving down the road in the car. They had the windows down. It was a beautiful spring afternoon, and all of a sudden, a bee flew in the window. This little girl was highly allergic to bees. It could cause death to her if she didn't have treatment soon. The bee flew in the window, and all of a sudden, she panicked. She began to scream, "Ah, Dad, Dad," and she was just going off. Very calmly, the dad literally reached around, and as the bee flew by, he caught it in his hand. For a couple of minutes, he just held it there in his hand. And all of a sudden, he let it go, and it flew off. The little girl, "Dad, what are you doing? Why, Dad, did you let it go?" He said, "It's okay, sweetie." He said, "Look at my hand." And the dad held out his hand, and there was the stinger of the bee in his hand. He said, "It's okay, he can't sting you." She said, "Dad, why did you let the bee sting you?" He said, "Because I couldn't tolerate you having to deal with the sting." The sting of death, the Bible says, the sting of sin, the Bible says, is death. But God loved us so much that he took upon himself the sting of death so that we wouldn't have to. Wow. What a Savior. Hallelujah. That humbles me. What about you? This morning, I want us to take just a second to look at a verse in 1 John. So if you've got your Bibles, open them to 1 John chapter 3. And I want us to look at a verse there. And I want us to look at three simple things. And we'll be finished. 1 John chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. Listen to what it says. How great
is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Look at this next part. He says, and that is what we are. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is exactly what we are. Remember, we come this morning with a title. Did you know that? We come this morning to this place with a title. We come this morning with a definition. We come this morning with a purpose. We come this morning with a plan. We come this morning with an identity. We are God's children. Because of God's love for us and the love that He lavished on us, He gives us a name, His child. He gives us a purpose and a plan. He gives our lives direction and meaning. Because the love that He lavished on us. Now, I got to tell you, I am blessed because I have two incredibly godly parents. I can't stand here and tell you how blessed I was to have a mom and a dad who loved God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, who were willing to not only love God, but to raise their sons in the things of God. My parents took us to church. My parents read us the Bible. My mom and dad modeled God's word. They lived God's word before us. They lavished on my brother and I God's love, and they lavished on us the love that they had for us. My parents blessed us in so many ways. Many of you know my father passed away about 4 years ago, and my mom is still alive. She's 80 years old. She still works 2 days a week at Dunwoody Baptist Church as a receptionist. I was just blessed. I mean, my parents did things for us. They gave us things. They provided things for us. They gave us an incredible home. But can I tell you, too, that my parents, they disciplined us. They loved us enough to discipline us. My dad was a firm believer in spare the rod, spoil the child. I can assure you I wasn't spoiled for very long anyway. I believe his version of his Bible said spare the belt, spoil the child. I'm grateful that my parents disciplined me. I am thankful that my mom and dad helped me to learn to have discipline in my own life. They loved me enough to do that. They lavished love on us. But can I tell you this morning, that doesn't compare to the way in which God lavished His love upon us to the extent that He gives us an identity. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you have an identity this morning. You are a child of God. That is an incredible thought. If you take nothing away from this place this morning, walk out of here holding your head high, knowing that you are a child of God. You're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God who created everything we experience. You belong to Him. You are one of His children. I got news for you this morning. That's worth the price of the ticket. To just be reminded and to know that we are God's child. But children, can I remind us of something this morning? How great really is God's love? How great is God's love for us? Three things. Number one, it is a love like we have never seen or experienced before. It is a love like we have never seen or experienced before. I told you, I grew up in a great Christian home. I've experienced love in my life. Maybe you're here, maybe you didn't have that privilege. And maybe this morning you come to this place and maybe your definition of love is a little scarred. Listen, I want you to know, you will never understand, you will never experience the love like you will experience from God. It is a love like you have never seen or never experienced before. It is a love that brings hope. This morning, you may have come to this place, you may have walked through those doors, and you may be in an absolute hopeless situation. You may be in a hopeless situation at work. It may seem like it's a hopeless situation at home. You may be in a hopeless situation, it seems like, with your children. It may seem like you're in a hopeless situation physically. There may be all kinds of things you bring to this place, and it seems like in your life right now, things are just hopeless. I mean, let's be honest this morning. It doesn't take us long to turn on the news, and it doesn't matter what news channel you watch. It just seems like things in this world are hopeless. And maybe this morning you come to this place and you have this real sense of hopelessness. Can I tell you, the love of God is like nothing you have ever seen before. And that love that God has for you, it brings hope to you this morning. That love can bring hope to you this morning. In the midst of your hopelessness, God says, I love you and I'm willing to give you all of the hope that you need. God is a God of hope. But he's also a God of life. His love brings life. Not only does it bring life, but it brings abundant life. Do you remember John 10:10? The Bible says a thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus speaking, he said, but I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Beloved, this morning, listen to me. God desires for you, every single one of you sitting in this room, God desires for you to have life to the fullest. God desires for you to have life that is full of meaning and purpose. God desires for you to wake up in the morning and have life that is so full you can't stand it. That's the life that God has for you. A life that is so rich and so full. That doesn't mean that it may be rich with things and stuff. Sometimes things and stuff are the very things that keep us from experiencing the presence and power of God in our lives. I can tell you this morning, I have been with some of the poorest people on the planet, and I can tell you, they have life to the fullest. Several years ago, when I was in Romania, I had the privilege of going to one of the areas where people with leprosy, it was a colony of lepers. There was a little lady that was laying in her bed, and it was literally because part of her legs were gone, part of her hands were gone, and she could only lay in the bed. She depended on other people to feed her and everything else. And we walked in, and I am thinking to myself, this lady didn't have two nickels to rub together to make a dime. She had nothing, nothing. But I have never in all of my life seen the joy of the Lord like I saw in that lady. She wanted us to come in and sing with her and sing Amazing Grace. She was so rich and so full and had an incredibly abundant life. Why? Because of Jesus in her life. She had come to realize that when Jesus is all you got, you realize that Jesus is all you need. She knew what that meant. She had nothing, but she had everything because she had Jesus. He desires for you to have life and have it to the fullest. But it doesn't stop there. Listen to this. Not only does God want you to have life and have it to the fullest, God wants you to have everlasting, eternal life. Please let that just find a place in your heart this morning. Please just let that find some place to sink in. God desires for you and for me to have eternal, everlasting life. It's God's desire that none would perish, but all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. That's a love like we've never seen before. Even if somebody loved you enough to give you eternal life, beloved, they couldn't. They don't have the ability to. Only God through Jesus Christ can give you and give me eternal life. That's a love like we've never, ever seen and we will never see again. That is an amazing thought that God loves us that much that he would want to give us eternal, everlasting love. I was reminded this week of a simple hymn that many of you have heard or sang for many years. And it says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. This morning, you can stop doubting of God's love for you. If you bring any doubt at all to this place, you can stop doubting God's love for you. He loves you. But not only is it a love like we've never seen, but the second thing is the fact that this love teaches us how to love. This love teaches us how to love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. We can learn from God how to have this same unconditional kind of love. Now, if you're a parent here this morning, maybe you can begin to grasp a little bit of this. I have two girls, and I love my girls. I don't love my girls just when they do something that's good, or I don't love them when they accomplish something. I am proud of them when they do that. I appreciate when they do that. But you want to know something? This morning, I love them, period. I love them because they're my girls. They don't have to do a song and dance to get my approval. Although I have one that would probably love to do a song and dance. As a matter of fact, I could probably ask her to come up here and do one now, and she would, you know? I don't love them because of the things they do. See, God's love teaches us how to love. So this morning, I'm going to ask a simple question. How's your love life? I mean, how are you loving other people? See, the Bible says the greatest commandment of all is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second one is like, and it says love your neighbor as yourself. Do you understand that you give evidence of the first by the way you do the second? You give evidence of your love for God by the way you love other people. You can't come here this morning and say, oh, I love God. Well, praise the Lord, I love God. And you hate people around you. It doesn't work. You give evidences of your love for God the way that you love other people. God teaches us through his great love for us how to love others. And you know, part of that, listen, because this is where this is going to get a little sticky. That love for others, you know one of the things it may in detail in your life? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Because you see, God teaches us how to forgive too. You know, there may be somebody in your life right now, and man, there's just this real barrier. There's just this bad situation. There's this bad relationship. And you know what? To exercise God's love, what you need to do is go and exercise forgiveness. See, we forgive because we've been forgiven. And one of the things that God teaches us how to do is how to forgive. In his love for us and through his love for us, God teaches us how to forgive other people in our lives. And there may be somebody here that you have this bitterness towards, you have this issue towards, and you're having a hard time forgiving them. I got news for you. You can't love them until you're willing to forgive them. Now, I know that for some of you say, man, you don't know what they've done to me. You're right, I don't. But I know what God's word teaches, and I know what God's word says. And maybe what you need to do today is go get on the telephone or send an email or do whatever it is that you do And you need to call somebody. You need to write somebody, type somebody. You need to get with somebody. You need to ask them to forgive you. And you need to get some things straightened out. If you're going to love the way God instructs us to love, the way God teaches us to love, the way God showed us to love with unconditional love, for us to do that, we've got to be willing to forgive. And so today, maybe the exercise for you is to get on the phone and go and forgive. See, His love teaches us how to love, and part of that is knowing how to forgive. Not only does it teach us to forgive and to love, but it also teaches us to serve. It teaches us to serve. God's love for us teaches us how to serve other people. I just got to tell you, we were talking about Vacation Bible School here just a minute ago, and you know, one of the coolest things is that week of Vacation Bible School is seeing all of the adults and seeing all of the teenagers that are up here working with the children. And I don't care if you're in the gym playing kickball with them, or you're taking them a big old thing of lemonade, or if you're sitting down with the Bible and teaching them, it is an exciting thing to see people invest in the lives of children. They're serving and they're willing to give. It excites me to know that right now, over in Mexico, we've got three of our family members, and they're over there serving God by ministering to people in Mexico. God calls us to serve, and His love teaches us to serve, to make a difference in the lives of other people. God's love teaches us to love. The last thing is this. God's love has no boundaries. God's love has no boundaries. Just a few moments ago, when we were having our time of worship and music, Jim read from Romans chapter 8, incredibly powerful verses of Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Remember, His love helps us overcome our imperfections. That's what we're after. That's what we need to be reminded of. God's love helps us overcome, helps us conquer those imperfections. Look at what He says. He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Be reminded this morning that God's love has no boundaries. You may be here this morning and you may be thinking, you know, Skeeter, I can appreciate hearing that, but you know, you just don't understand what I've done. Listen, there's nowhere you can be on this planet that God can't love you and God can't find you. Nowhere. God's love has no boundaries. You don't get to this place where all of a sudden you've done something or you've lived a certain way where God says, okay, sorry, you're out of bounds. Sure, there are sin in our lives, and I just want to remind you here and just be reminded all through this series that yes, as we talk about God as a loving God, please be reminded that yes, God is a holy God, and God is a just God, and God does not tolerate sin. But does that mean all of a sudden because of the sin in our lives that we're out of bounds and God doesn't love us? No. As a matter of fact, He'll come running out of bounds looking for you. God loves you, but your sin and my sin are serious things, and we don't need to just act flippantly about it and say, oh, well, it's okay, God loves me. I'll go do what I want to do. I'll live my life however I want to live it. I'll go and cheat on my wife or cheat on my husband, or I'll go cheat on my taxes, or I'll go cheat in business, or I'll lie to my parents, or I'll abuse my kids. Oh, it's okay, God loves me. No, it doesn't work that way. God's love for us is not a free pass to just go and do whatever we want to do. God's love knows no boundaries. And nothing can separate you from God's love. And maybe you've already blown it. Listen to me. God still loves you. He loved you so much that He gave the greatest gift that He had. Because sin is a serious thing, because God is a holy God, because God is a just God. God was willing to do anything he could for his creation, and he gave his one and only son to come and to die on a cross to pay that price, to pay that penalty. God loves us so much. How much do we love him? As I was preparing this week, I ran across just a really cool story that I have to share with you this morning. There was a professor at a school in the western part of the United States. His name was Dr. Christensen. He was a believer. He was teaching a survey of Christianity course on the college campus. It was a course that was required for every student. Although most students really didn't want to be there, most of the students that were in the class hated it, but they had to take it because it was a required course. They really weren't interested. They really weren't listening. They really weren't paying attention. And to be real honest, Dr. Christensen, it was a real struggle for him. But all of a sudden, one year, he had a young man by the name of Steve show up in his class. Steve was a very popular young man on campus. He started on the football team. He was a big, strong guy, and people really liked him. And Steve had an incredible faith in Jesus Christ and an incredible love for God. One day, Dr. Christensen asked Steve, he said, "Do you mind staying after class for just a second so we can talk?" Steve said, "Sure." So after class, Steve and Dr. Christensen had a talk, and Dr. Christensen asked him, said, "Steve, how many push-ups can you do?" And he thought, "What?" He said, how many push-ups can you do at one time?" Steve said, "Well, every night I try to do 200 push-ups." Dr. Christensen said, "Okay." He said, "Steve, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Do you think you could do 300? He said, I don't know. I've never done 300. He said, "Would you be willing to try?" Steve said, "Sure. I'll be able to give it a go." He said, "Well, be ready to do push-ups this Friday in class." And Steve's like, I beg your pardon? He said, "This Friday, last day of class, I want you to be ready to do push-ups." Steve got to class. There was a sign on the door that said, "Today's class is moved to the gym. Join me there." So all the students went, got there to the gym. There was Dr. Christensen. There was Steve. Up on a little table there in the gym were boxes of donuts. Now, you remember college? Donuts were a luxury. Ramen noodles were the food of the day. But donuts were a luxury. And all of a sudden, these college students looked and they saw donuts. Dr. Christensen said, "Today, we're going to have a party. We're going to have an end of the year party. And we're going to have donuts." And all of a sudden, he walked over to the first student sitting there in the bleachers, and he said, "Cynthia," said, "hon, do you want a donut?" She said, "Yes, sir." Dr. Christensen looked over to Steve, and he said, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Cynthia can have a donut?" "Yes, sir, I will." And Steve, man, he jumped down on the gym floor. Boom, 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 he popped out 10 push-ups. Dr. Christian walked over, right beside Cynthia on the seat there, set a donut. She said, "Thank you." He said, "Thanks, Steve." About that time, he walked over to Joe, and he said, "Joe," he said, "would you like a donut?" Joe said, "Yes, sir, I'm starving." He said, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Joe can have a donut?" Steve said, "Yes, sir." He jumped down on that floor, boom, boom, he pumped out 10 more push-ups. Dr. Christian walked over and handed Joe a donut.
kept going down the first aisle, down the first row there of the bleachers. He got to the second row. He looked at a young man by the name of Scott. Scott was an athlete. He was on the basketball team. He was in good shape. And Dr. Christian looked at Scott and he said, "Scott," he said, "do you want a donut?" And Scott replied, he said, "Well, I can do my own push-ups." And Dr. Christian said, "No, Steve has to do them." And Scott said, "Well, then I don't want one if I can't do my own push-ups." And Dr. Christian said, "That's fine." He said, "Steve, would you jump down there and do 10 push-ups for a donut that Scott doesn't want?" Steve said, "Yes, sir." He got down, he did 10 push-ups. Scott said, "I told you I could do my own, I didn't want it." He said, "Doesn't matter. Steve's doing the push-ups, not you." He set the donut down beside Scott. All of a sudden, the class began to think about what was going on. Steve was starting to get a little weary after he'd done about 100 push-ups. About that time, Dr. Christensen went to a young girl by the name of Jenny. Said, "Jenny, do you want a donut?" Jenny looked at Dr. Christensen and she said, "No, sir, I don't want your donut." Dr. Christensen said, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups for the donut that Jenny doesn't want?" "Yes, sir." He jumped down and he did 10 push-ups. Dr. Christian went over and sat the donut down beside her. All of a sudden, there was a real uneasiness in this room. See, there were all these uneaten donuts that were sitting there. By this time, Steve was really beginning to sweat. Dr. Christensen looked over at Robert, who was the most vocal unbeliever in the class. And he looked at Robert and he said, "Robert," he said, "I want you to go over and stand by Steve and you make sure he does these push-ups and you make sure he does them right." Robert got up and he went over. He knelt down by Steve. Dr. Christensen went on down that aisle. "You want a donut?" Some said yes, some said no, but Steve did those push-ups. He was just about to get to the last row. And all of a sudden, he looked up, and students from other classes began to pour into the gym to see what was going on. Steve finished up doing all the push-ups for the 30 students in his class, and now 4 more students had come in. Dr. Christensen went to them, didn't even know their name, said, "Would you like a donut?" "Sure." "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups for someone you don't even know so they can have a donut?" "Yes, sir." 40 more push-ups. All of a sudden, standing at the door was a young man by the name of Jason. He was a transfer student from another country. All the students in the class said, "No, don't come in. Stay out there." Steve, laying from the ground, raised his head up and he said, "No, you come on in." Jason walked in. He said, "Okay, Steve. Jason, do you want a donut?" "Yeah, sure." Steve began to do 10 push-ups. Absolutely wringing wet with sweat. He finished up. By this time, sweat was just dropping off of Steve's face.
There was no sound in the room except for his heavy breathing. A few tears. One last girl. Linda. Linda said, Dr. Christian said, Linda, you want a donut? With tears in her eyes. She said, no, thank you. I can't see him suffer anymore. Steve looked over at her and said, I choose to do this. It's okay. And he did 10 push-ups. All of a sudden, tears were flowing down the faces of students. Steve was drenched in sweat. Dr. Christensen, with tears in his eyes, looked at those students. And he said, and so it was that our Savior Jesus Christ on the cross pleaded to the Father, into thy hands I commit thy spirit, with the understanding that he had done everything that was required of him. He yielded up his life. And like some of those in this room, many of us will leave this gift on those seats. I wonder how many of us walk out of this place week after week and leave the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus. An extravagant love? Oh, I think so. A love like we've never seen before? I think so. A love that gives hope? I think so. Jesus paid it all because he loves us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We pray, Lord, this morning that you remind us of your love for us. That God, you'll remind us of the incredible gift of your love. Father, this morning there may be someone that's here and they've never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've never said yes to Jesus. I pray that this morning will be that moment. I pray that this morning that they will trust you as Lord and Savior. That they will receive the incredible gift that you have provided for them because of your love. Your love knows no boundaries. And this morning we are loved. So God, I pray that if there's someone here, they may not understand it all, but what they know this morning is they don't want to leave your gift sitting in that chair. So this morning, as we stand and we sing, I pray, God, that if there's one here today that just needs the Savior, that God, they'll just come. They'll give us a chance to just minister to them and talk to them. Father, maybe there's someone here this morning and they have just felt so hopeless, God, that they've been reminded that you're the God of hope, that you love them. Maybe there's one here this morning, and Father, they need to learn how to love others. And God, maybe there's someone they need to forgive. Maybe they need to go to that person right now. Maybe they're here. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a friend. They just need to go to them right now. Or maybe it's someone when they get home, they need to make a phone call or they need to go see them. Maybe they just want to come and pray and ask for forgiveness from you. I don't know, God. I don't know what you're doing in this place this morning, but I know your Spirit is here. I know you're at work in this place. God, help us just to be reminded of your incredible love. Maybe this morning we just want to come and kneel and just say a prayer of thanksgiving. Maybe we want to just sit right where we are and thank you. Maybe we want to stand and just thank you for your great love for us. I don't know. But God, I do know that you love us. So God, I ask that as we respond this morning for these next few moments, that God, you'll touch our hearts and you'll move in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join me as we stand and sing. And this morning, if God's leading you, make a decision. You come forward right there in your seats, whatever you need to do. Let's just depend on God. Let's celebrate His goodness.